Good to see everybody here this morning. I don't know about you, but since the time changed last Sunday, I've kind of just been existing. Barry and Skip and I were talking a little bit before we began this morning, as many of you were coming in, and he was talking to us about the cataract surgery he had recently on one eye, and talking about the medicine that they were giving him, not putting him all the way out, just kind of being semi-conscious. And that's kind of the way I feel since the time changed a week ago. But glad to see that all of you are here this morning. What a great privilege and blessing it is for us to be able to come together as God's children and to sing together, to pray together, and to study together from His Word. I think as we look into the world that we live in today, the culture that we find ourselves in, as time goes on, as our culture moves further and further away from God, and like Paul says to us in Romans chapter 1, we're rapidly getting to the point, if we're not there already, where we have taken God out of our knowledge and taken God and removed God from our life and from our culture, that as that progresses further and further away from God, we find that our culture is relying more and more on wisdom that is from below and less on wisdom that is from above. And as that process continues on, I think we're going to see an increase as James talks to us in James chapter 3 about the two different sources of wisdom. I think we're going to see an increase in disorder and every evil thing, as he mentions there in chapter 3 and verse 16. Along, obviously, with what we have seen in the last number of decades, a decline in moral and spiritual character. If we are trying to pursue wisdom that is from above, as James tells us there in James chapter 3, it's really wisdom that's from Satan. It is wisdom that is demonic. Then we're going to see less and less people care about what their character is like. And so godly qualities like love and mercy, peace and goodness, and many others that we could consider today, they're going to be thrown out the window. And I think in many circles, they are already being replaced with things like hatred and meanness and strife and evil. So one spiritual quality that also appears to be on the way out, in my estimation, is this characteristic of kindness that we're going to think of today. As we think about kindness, just to ask this question, what has happened to kindness? We could ask that about these other characteristics that I mentioned this morning. What's happened to love, true love? What has happened to mercy? What has happened to goodness? What has happened to really all the fruit of the Spirit and many other characteristics that we see described in Scripture? What has happened to all of those? But today we want to think about what has happened to kindness. This lesson this morning, at least a version of this lesson I preached several times. I was looking back in the spreadsheet that I keep of all the sermons that I have preached over the years. And I think that said to me anyway, and I hope it says to you, this is not something that we just need in 2024. We all realize, don't we, this is an election year for our country, but it doesn't really seem to matter anymore whether it's an election year or not. I mean, the political rhetoric is just all over the place as it is. It seems to be all the time. There are lots of things that are said and lots of things that are done in our society and our culture related to that. But just doesn't have to be political season. Just in the way that we interact with each other as human beings and the way that we get along with each other or don't get along, I think this lesson this morning is always relevant. So as we think about this question, what has happened to kindness this morning, we're going to look at just a few things that Scripture has to say to us about this spiritual quality by asking and answering just three basic questions about this spiritual characteristic of kindness. First of all, to think about what is kindness. The word kindness, obviously, in our English is from the root word kind, which in the Greek, according to Thayer's, has the following definition. It's talking about something that is useful. It is talking about something that is virtuous. Sometimes we think about the fruit of the Spirit, or we think about 2 Peter chapter 1, and we call them the Christian virtues, the Christian graces, characteristics of those of us who are Christians, however you want to describe it. But as we just spoke of, godly character, moral character, spiritual character seems to be on the way out in our culture. So we're thinking about something that's virtuous. We're thinking about something that is good. As he gives a definition here of something or someone, maybe, who is mild or pleasant. And then benevolent. We think about benevolence as like being generous or charitable and sharing what God has given us with people around us in need. Like other spiritual qualities, though, I want you to keep this in mind as we talk about kindness this morning from a biblical perspective. Kindness is both an inner attitude, but it is also an outward action and words and just our demeanor toward other people. It is something, as the definition that we just looked at says, it's something that is useful, something that is beneficial to someone. As we're going to go through several texts this morning from the New Testament that talk to us about kindness and emphasize the need for us to have this spiritual character in our lives, sometimes the word goodness will be used depending upon what translation you are reading from this morning. So, just kind of put this in another way to think about it. Kindness is not just something that we feel on the inside. It's not just an attitude that we have, a state of mind that we have, an emotion that is stirred within us. It certainly is that, but it's not just something we feel on the outside. It is also something that we show on the feel on the inside, rather. Something that we show on the outside. Just like these other characteristics that we've already mentioned this morning, love. That obviously has an emotional component to it, doesn't it? It obviously has something to do with our state of mind, our disposition toward another human being or toward God. It has something to do with our attitude toward each other or toward God. But it's not just something that is internal, it's also external. And the Scriptures are very clearly, I think, point that out to us. We can say we love someone else. We can say we love God. But yet if our life doesn't back that up, if our actions and our words don't back that up, do we really love Him? Do we really love each other? So, we've got to have both, I believe, for us to truly show this characteristic of kindness. So that's what kindness is. To think about this, the next question, why should you and I show kindness? There's lots of reasons I think we could give from the Scripture for this. I want us to just consider two very briefly this morning. Number one, because that's who God is. And just like love and mercy and grace and patience, God shows each of us kindness. I want you to go to the book of Titus to begin this morning as we think about this really motivation that we should have to show kindness toward our fellow human being. In Titus chapter 3, beginning there at verse 4, as Paul is writing to this evangelist as he's doing his work among Christians on the island of Crete, and he is reminding them, we're going to look a little bit later on in our lesson back at chapter 2, but he has given Titus some instructions that he is to instruct the Christians that he's working with, kind of different groups in local congregations, talking to older men and older women and younger women and younger men about the kind of character that they are to have. And then reminding Titus that he was to remind the saints that he was working with here, verses 1 through 3, about who they were and who they had been called to be in Jesus Christ. Then he gets to, why is all of that important? Verse 4, he says, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so, as a child of God, if we are children of God, we need to realize, as Paul was saying to Titus, as Titus was then to turn around and instruct the brethren that he was working with, that all of us who are children of God, we need to remember quite often what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. That God, as he says here at verse 4, God has showed his kindness. It was manifested, it was shown very clearly in Jesus Christ, his Son, that he sent here to earth, in the life that Jesus lived, in the death that Jesus died, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even as he ascends to his Father, even as we think about him being our intercessor now, our advocate, that God has displayed himself. We need to remember the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 14, you know, as he had that discussion with his disciples, and especially Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he showed his kindness in the ultimate way in his Son, Jesus Christ, as Paul says in this text, by saving each one of us on the basis of his love, his mercy, and his grace. The kindness that God has shown each one of us, if we are Christians in his Son, Jesus Christ, going back to our definition of what is kindness, it's obviously something that is useful for us, right? Salvation from our sins. It is something that is beneficial for us. God was looking down upon us in his rich mercy, in his abundant grace, and he was providing something for us that we could not do for ourselves apart from God. And so he saves each one of us from our sins. God obviously has shown us kindness, and his kindness led to our salvation if we have taken advantage of that. Think about something that the Apostle Peter wrote over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Back into chapter 1, the Apostle has spoken to these Christians who are being persecuted or suffering for being Christians in their time, and has reminded them that they have been called to be holy people. Back in verses 13 through 16, he's reminded them that they have been purchased, they have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's not things that are perishable, but with something that is imperishable, the precious pure blood of Jesus Christ. He has reminded them of the Word of God that is something that is living and acting and active and something that will abide, it will live forever. And so it seems like based on that foundation that he's already described there in chapter 1, then he comes to chapter 2 at verse 1, and he says, therefore, because all these things that he has already mentioned in chapter 1 are true, therefore, he says, verse 1, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the milk, pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. It certainly is true, as we look into the world that God has created, all of us being made in his image, it is very much true that every person that is alive enjoys God's kindness in some way or another. I think back to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Luke there in chapter 6 in many ways kind of gives us, at least in my mind, the Sermon on the Mount in a very condensed version. And he says some things almost word for word that we read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But he says there in Luke 6 and verse 35 about our great God that he is kind, or he is good, depending upon what translation you're reading from, but he is kind to ungrateful and evil men. This is our God, that our God is a kind God. And our God causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and our God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And our God gives food and shelter and all the necessities of life, and even for many of us, above and beyond the necessities of life, whether we're his children or not, because we're living on his good earth. So it is true in a very real sense that every person enjoys God's kindness in some way or another. But as a Christian, the Apostle Peter was reminding the disciples in his time that you specifically, in a very unique way, in a very special way, you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And so if I am a Christian, I have tasted. Think about that word. Think about the picture that ought to put in our minds. I assume most of us in here like food to some degree, in some way. Some of us maybe like food more than others. But just, you know, the taste of, just think about your favorite foods and how good they taste to you. Maybe it's the texture, maybe it is the taste, maybe it's because it's juicy, maybe because it's sweet, maybe because, I don't understand this, but for some of you, because it's sour. or salty or whatever it is. But he's saying here, we have tasted, we have experienced the kindness of God. And I'm convinced, maybe you think otherwise, but when he uses this little word if here at verse 3, I don't think he's saying, well, maybe this is a possibility or not. I think it's more in the idea of since, because you are Christians, because you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, then here's how you are to act. Here is how you are to live. You're to put aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. You are to be like that newborn baby who just longs for his mother's milk. We're longing for the Word of God because we know that we can't grow any other way. But we have all tasted the kindness of God. And because God has shown each one of us kindness, then we need to show kindness to people around us. And that would be enough, I think. But secondly, I think as we think about this question, why should I show kindness? Because kindness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. If you go to the book of Galatians for just a moment, I think we're all familiar with this passage. Here at the end of Galatians 5, where Paul is contrasting for us the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit of God. Notice what he says here at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So out of all the spiritual characteristics that Paul, that the Holy Spirit himself could have included in the fruit of the Spirit, God chose to put kindness on the list here. As I've said several times since I've been here, I don't think this is like the totality of the fruit of the Spirit. This is like every conceivable spiritual characteristic that if we are spiritual people and the Spirit is working in us, that will be born, the fruit that will be born in us. You can look at a number of other passages throughout the Bible and see there are other spiritual characteristics. But it's interesting to me that God chose to put kindness here on the list. And as we've already emphasized this morning, kindness is a characteristic of God himself, isn't it? Of God the Father, of God the Son, of God the Spirit. And so as we're trying to be people, as Paul was encouraging the saints in the churches here in Galatia to be, if we're trying to be people who are like Christ, who are like God, we will be people who are not guided, we're not influenced, or we're not slaves to our flesh, but we're people who are trying to walk by the Spirit, we're people who are being led by the Spirit, we're people who are living by the Spirit of God. And if that is true for you and I, then kindness will be evident in our life. Kindness for sure is not the totality of what it means to be a Christian. It is not the only evidence, the only proof that the Spirit of God is working in us. But it is one proof that I am a true disciple of Jesus Christ. It is what distinguishes me from my old self before I became a Christian. Maybe I wasn't a very kind person. Maybe I wasn't a loving person. Maybe I wasn't a joyful person. Maybe I didn't have much self-control or any at all. But kindness is to be one thing that distinguishes me from my old self before I came to Christ. It ought to be now as a Christian something that distinguishes me from worldly people. As we just said a few moments ago, as we live in our world, we're surrounded by people who are anything but kind. They're not looking out for our best interests. They don't love us. They don't care where we spend eternity. It ought to be a distinguishing mark of true disciples of Christ, because kindness, as we've already said this morning, shows that I'm trying to be helpful and not hurtful. It shows that I'm trying to truly be useful to someone and not useless. So, lots of other biblical answers I think we could give to that question of why we should show kindness to other folks. Think about this third question for the rest of our time this morning. Who is it that needs kindness? I want to just think about three different groups. First of all, our physical family. Like so many other spiritual attitudes and actions, kindness begins at home. It begins at home. I want us to go back to the book of Titus for just a moment and look at that section that I referenced just in passing a few minutes ago from Titus chapter 2.
Titus chapter 2, and let's read here verses 3 through 5. Some instructions that Titus was to give to older women and younger women. Verse 3 beginning, he says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind," or some versions again say good, "being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Again, if your translation uses the word good here, if you go back and look at the Greek word that is behind the English word good or kind here, one of the definitions in that Greek word is what we just spoke of this morning in thinking about what is kindness. It is the idea of being useful to someone, is the idea of being helpful to someone, is the idea of being benevolent to someone. And here in this text, the Apostle Paul says specifically that older women are to teach younger women by their example. They are to train them. They are to help them to grow, also by their words. But he says they are to teach or train young women to be kind, especially, notice here in this text, especially to be kind toward family, and primarily for a young woman who is a wife and a mother to be kind toward her husband and to be kind toward her children. I don't think this is something that is exclusive to young women, though. All of us, whether we're an older woman or a younger woman or an older man or a younger man, wherever we find ourselves in life, again, as we've already stated, God is kind. This is a part of God's character. This is a part, an evidence that the Spirit truly is working in our life, that we are being led by the Spirit of God, if kindness is being produced within us. So it is something I think that is needed for all of us. But it's just interesting to me that here in this context, as the older women are to be instructing the younger women as to how they can live and be Christ-like in their life, if they are a wife and if they are a mom, this is really, I guess you could say, their domain. Not that they can't work outside the home, not that they don't influence neighbors around them. Not talking about any of those things, but especially here in the home, in the family, because kindness begins at home. And yet, sadly, we show more kindness, I think, sometimes to those who are outside of our family than those who are within our family. I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe it's because, you know, Satan, when sin came into the world there in Genesis chapter 3, obviously, there weren't these other relationships that we have now in life. There wasn't government. There wasn't the church. There wasn't, you know, a work environment. There wasn't all these other things. It was just the home. It was just the family. But that's where Satan attacked. And so sometimes we may be kind to other people, but we're not really kind to those that are close to us. And so all of us, wherever we are in the family, husbands or wives, if we're parents or children, we all need to show kindness to each other. We need to do that which is useful, that which is beneficial. We need to show goodness to each other. We can do that in a variety of ways. Obviously, we can speak kindly to one another. We can serve each other in some way, even when we're not asked to do that. You know, and sometimes when, for those of us who are parents, when our kids are younger, maybe they're really excited to be involved in something. You know, if they see you taking out the trash, they are very eager to say, "I'll take out the trash today," or "I'll help you, you know, empty the dishwasher," or "I'll help you put the clothes away," or "I'll help you mow the grass," or whatever. And sometimes as they get a little bit older, especially the teenage years, they're not too keen on doing that anymore. But we've got to start early as parents to train our children in those ways, even when we're not asked to do something, that we're just volunteering. We're looking around to see how we can be helpful or useful in the family. Showing true love to each other. Again, doing extra chores, maybe writing thoughtful or thankful notes to one another, giving some kind of gifts to each other, not because it's someone's birthday or because it's Christmas or whatever it is, but just because we're trying to show kindness. Because all of us who are in families, we need kindness. And so each of us needs to ask ourselves the question, how am I doing with that in my physical family? Am I truly trying to show kindness to the physical family that God has blessed me with. Secondly, our spiritual family needs kindness. A couple of passages I want you to look at. These are really, I think, companion text. As the Apostle Paul is giving some very practical instructions. Again, as you read through the book of Ephesians, what we're going to look at here from Colossians in just a moment. You know, Paul lays the groundwork in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 and then Colossians 1 and 2. He's really laying the groundwork, just kind of like we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1, that he, and even Titus, you know, reminding us, why should we be this kind of person? Why should we be this kind of people? It's because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because God has showed us kindness, because God is rich in mercy, because God is abundant in grace, because God has been patient with us. That ought to be our motivation for this. So keep that in mind. But notice here this specific instruction at Ephesians chapter 4, toward the end of this chapter, verse 31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you." So rather than being people who are like the world around us, maybe rather than being a person like we were before we came to Christ, rather than being this bitter, angry, hateful person toward other people, Paul says, the Holy Spirit says to us, we are to be kind to one another. And that kindness, specifically in these couple of verses that we read here, that kindness shows itself by having a soft heart, a tender heart that forgives our brethren when they sin against us. And it forgives just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Again, keep that passage in mind, then go to Colossians chapter 3. As Paul again is giving us a picture of who we have been called to be in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, "So as those who have been children of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has complained against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." And so, reminding us again who we are, that we are holy people, that we are children of God, as he begins there by saying, we've been chosen of God. And notice, we didn't take the time to read this, but the verses before that, like back to verse 8, he says, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech to your mouth. Do not lie to one another, because you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices." And now we're a new person who's being created or recreated in the image of Christ. So that's who maybe we used to be before we became Christians. But we're no longer that kind of person. As holy people who have been chosen of God, Paul, the Spirit, says to us here, we must put on a heart of kindness. You know, using this terminology of putting on, that it's just like when we get up every morning, that we put on clothes every day to go to work or to school or to shop for groceries or to walk in the neighborhood or whatever it is that we do throughout the day. So we must be people who are daily clothing ourselves with the spiritual characteristic of kindness. We show kindness, I think, especially here in this passage in Colossians 3, we show kindness to other people when we are compassionate, when we are humble with each other, when we are gentle and patient as we are growing in Christ, as we're growing in our understanding of the Word of God, when we bear with each other's burdens and shortcomings, when we again forgive each other of wrongs and sins. So just like our physical family needs kindness, God's family, our family, I really liked what Nick Angel said to us last week in his sermon about our relationship with the church, that yes, it is Christ's church. He died, he purchased us with his precious blood, but it's my church. We need to take ownership of that. This is our family. It's God's family, but it's our family. And so our family spiritually needs kindness. So am I, are you showing kindness to God's family? And then thirdly, just everybody needs kindness. So I think about the great example that is given to us in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, about this woman named Dorcas or Tabitha. And notice what it says about her there at verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Here this woman was known for her kindness to others, her goodness to others. Luke is describing her, notice, as a disciple who didn't just occasionally do some kind deeds for other people. He says she was abounding with deeds of kindness. She was full of good works, several translations say, and charity. Notice what she continually did. That this is who she was. This is her character. Just like God is kind, this woman was known for her kindness. And notice when you come to verse 39 of this text, that she showed kindness. She did something that was very useful and beneficial by making clothes for widows, people who couldn't care for themselves, and perhaps making clothes for other people. She is a great example for us to follow. Sometimes we forget about these folks in Scripture. There's not a whole lot said about them. But the Holy Spirit decided that she should be in the text. And so as it was with this woman Dorcas, we should all be known for being kind to all people. And then we'll end with this passage this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I think this goes along very well with those of you who are in the evangelism class on Wednesday nights. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. After giving the young preacher the instruction there again that we looked at a few weeks ago at verse 23 about refusing foolish and ignorant speculations because they produce quarrels, he says in contrast to that at verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Here is the description that God is giving of his bondservant. He says, among those things, the Lord's bondservant must be kind to all. Showing kindness to people, especially who are outside of Christ, people that we're trying to win over to Christ, that we're trying to convert to being followers of Christ, it is something obviously that is useful. I mean, this characteristic of kindness, I think, shows itself in the greatest way when we try to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ with people who are lost. We're doing something that's useful and beneficial for them, not just in this life, but for eternity. Because he says, showing or being kind to all people, even if they're opposed to the will of God, it can lead them to repentance. It can help them come to a knowledge of the truth. It can help them to escape Satan's snare that they are under. It can help them, in short, to be saved. So whether we think about this or not, I think we ought to really consider this as we have opportunities and take advantage of opportunities to talk to people about the gospel of Christ, that one kind deed or one kind word we can say to someone who's outside of Christ may result in that person's salvation. In this whole discussion about kindness this morning, we're not thinking about sugarcoating the gospel. We're not thinking about not telling people that they're lost in sin. We're not thinking about any of those things. But even as we point out the dire situation that people are in, we need to do that with kindness. So back to our question that we began with this morning, what has happened to kindness? For many people, I think, in our time, it has gone out the window as just an outdated, antiquated, old-fashioned concept that no longer really fits our modern world. For those of us who are the people of God, kindness must be our way of life. This must be who we are and who we are growing into. And so I would challenge each of us to look for opportunities to show kindness this week. To our family that we live with every day, to God's family, to just anybody that is around us in the world. Because this is who God is. And this is what God has shown to each one of us. Well, you've listened very well this morning. I hope that you can keep those thoughts in mind. Let's be dismissed to our classes at this time.